Welcome to the Magic Performance Report podcast sponsored by Conjured Community. Each week we're uncovering the ups and downs of real working magicians as they navigate through some of their recent magic gigs. This week Alex and Steve go international as they are joined by longtime CC Club member Christoph Glass. He joined us all the way from Germany to discuss just one of the many types of gigs he performs on a daily basis. So settle in, unwind, and let's dive into the wonder that lies ahead. Stay connected because the magic keeps flowing on this channel. The anticipation is high, folks, so stay wonderful and we'll catch you on the flip side.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Steve Barcelona. This is the CC Performance Report podcast. Pretty exciting. I'm here with my friend, Alexander Slemmer.
Hello, Alex. I'm excellent.
I'm pretty excited today because we have Christoph Glass on the show today. Pretty big deal. He's been around the club for a while. He's like a real worker.
He's like one of our OG members, man. He's
OG.
He's a peer leader. You know, people look to Christoph. In addition to that, he also runs one of the club nights here that we do in the club. If you are interested, we do club nights where we get together and people work on magic together. And Christoph does a special feature for us that he does it on Saturday. So he's able to sort of have a club night open for folks that may not be available during the week. And in addition, a lot of the European members take advantage of the earlier time slots so that they can come and hang out. And Christoph is a great host and he's very welcoming. And I've gone to the Saturday club meeting before and it's really a great group. And I encourage you to go and check it out if you are interested.
Well, I tell you what, Alex, let's welcome our guest, Christoph Glass.
Hey, Christoph, welcome.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Alex, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, man.
Yeah, so like we were saying, you've been around a while. You know, I've seen you perform many times. But give our audience a little thumbnail sketch. Like, how did you get here? Give us the thumbnail sketch of who Christoph is.
Yeah, I have been in Conjured Community for quite some years, and I do not really remember how many, but quite some years before COVID started. So. And I was, at that time, I was performing, but did not have many tricks I performed, and I was very interested in card magic. I already knew who Aaron Fisher was, and had not had much seen, a little bit, as maybe the... Search and Destroy DVD or so, but right. I had some image in my mind who he was, but not real knowledge. And I basically, when I tried to learn, I guess mostly the double lift at that time, I found it a very difficult slide. So I was looking at different sources, practicing, seeing that I was not really able to do it as well as I wanted to. And then looking for books, looking for DVDs, looking for teachings on how to do it, and looking for a new book, maybe getting the one special tip. And somehow, I don't know exactly what topic it was, but somehow I stumbled on the video of Conjured Community, where I was hoping to find some of these better explanations that I was looking for. And I got, there was a package deal, you get like... access to one of the teachings of Conjured Community and a little bit of glimpse. And then I realized, oh, there's more behind it. And then I realized, oh, it's Aaron Fisher who's doing that. And then I was really, really interested and I joined.
You were telling us about recently about some of the shows that you were doing. And you mentioned specifically doing some family shows that you did at a zoo. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, how does that even come about? How does one get to perform in the zoo when you're doing family shows? How does that even come up on your radar?
Yeah, I just was there for me today. And maybe zoo is my not being so 100% sure in the English language. So it's an animal park. They don't have any exotic animals. So no lions, no elephants, but like rabbits and deers and
smaller animals.
It's like a petting zoo kind of a thing, like a little kind of thing like that, right? You're saying there's no like bears and tigers. It's not like a zoo like that.
Yeah, no, not like a zoo, but like they do have many animals and obviously they have families, which they can, they are the children at a certain age. They really love to go there.
Oh, yeah.
The parents go with them. The friends go with them. And it's a family owned business. So there is a family running the place and they have children in... I guess around 9 years old is one of the children, more or less. So I was performing in a museum. I also do lots of performances in the figure of a medieval jester. And there was a museum in a castle very close to that place where I have been performing for maybe 8 years or so. Like every year they asked me back.
That's great.
Yeah, that's super great. I was doing a show there, like two shows on 2 days. So four shows for families last year. And the older family just went there with their own kids to see the castle, to see the museum, be at that event. And they saw me. And I fit perfectly to that animal park.
They found you naturally being in the real world. Their life, and they bumped into a real magician and went, "You would be perfect at our place."
You know,
that's awesome. That's like the dream right there.
I was going to say, so you're saying that you were performing somewhere else and they saw you.
Yeah, that's it. No, sorry, Schultz. That's it.
I have this, this weird, like, have you ever heard of Murphy's Law? I need to give it a name, but it's the law that says, like, the more gigs you do, the more gigs you do.
That's right.
So that's the more right. times you get out, I mean, that's the perfect example of like people see what you do. They see the effect you have. You could never write it on a website. You could never, you know, you could never ever give them a better taste of what you do than when they're standing in the middle of a crowd and you're doing your thing. You know, that's like the best time. So it also tells me you killed that day. killed. That's what it tells me. But yes. So that's how you got the gig, which is completely awesome. So here's a question I want to ask. So I know you do like a court jester type character. Is that right?
Yes.
And so we should also mention that you're in Germany.
Yes, that's right.
And so that court jester character is a very, I don't want to say it in a bad way, but a stereotypical kind of a magic character, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like I don't think it's sort of stereotypical as like, I actually think it fits to many places, but the people who book me don't think so. Like, whenever they see me, they go like, this guy is great. If you ever do some medieval themed event,
I see.
This would be a choice, but for everything else, it doesn't work. Mm. So obviously I do have done everything else and mostly it does work, but it's quite hard to convince people.
Sure.
They put you in a box in their mind, and it's quite hard to get out of that. So in the COVID time, I had a new stage character, which is called the Honest Niels. So Niels is the name, Niels the Honest. Like on a 1920s type costume. And this works well everywhere. Like I'm not in a box anymore. And that's how I perform in this animal.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Awesome. So tell us. So, I imagine this is an act you've done many, many times before. There's probably not a lot of preparation. But tell us, did you feel like you had to prepare in any way out of the ordinary, or what is your preparation?
Yes, I have to go back a little bit because we talked about how I got the gig, but we did not talk about the financial side. It's very poorly paid, and I realized that quite so when they asked me if I would perform, this was clear right from the very beginning. And it also was very clear that I would fit to this place like really, really well. So we decided to give it a try. I do get like half of what is the minimum I want to have. So all my expenses are covered, but then I can go with my girlfriend to a restaurant and then everything is done.
Yeah. You can buy dinner and there you go.
Yeah, so it's not a well-paid gig. And I wanted to do it because it's really nice to perform there. So the question was, what profit is there for me if I do it? So a clear answer, I want to try new things there. And that's also really well there. I find it very hard to perform like new tricks, new routines, because the stuff I have performed for so long, much of that I have performed 10 years or 15 years. And it's really like polished. That's a lot of it.
I was going to say, I just can relate. I can relate so, so much because I have the same thing, an act I've been doing for 10 or 15 years. And it's like a security blanket. You know, it's just like you just put it on and you go out there and, you know, like every ad lib, every word, everything. It's just like, it's like swimming in lukewarm water. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, so I totally understand what you're talking about.
So what you're saying is they, instead of giving you what you want compensation wise, they gave you a venue where you could basically go and work out material. So it's like a laboratory. That's a pretty wonderful trade. But, that's pretty great.
Yeah, but not only that, we go back to what we said before, the more gigs you do, the more gigs you do.
Right.
So
right.
Who's going to see you
there?
Now?
The house guy there, right?
Yeah,
right.
Who's going to see you there, you know?
Yeah, but like with this Polish act, like every new routine is a competition against the stuff I have already been doing, and it's not as good because I haven't been doing it as long. So like if I have like a difficult gig, which sort of often has the feeling of doing walk around for a cold crowd, like approaching people going, hey, do you want to see a magic show? And they're not expecting anything. So they go like, where's that guy? Do we want to see a magic show? And then the split second where they decide, so I want to do some good stuff for them. I don't want to take any risk there. And while I don't do always this walk around type of shows, I very often have this feeling of doing that. So I find it quite difficult to find a place where I just am relaxed and can try new stuff. And I also, when they asked me to perform there, I realized that's it. It's like a wonderful crowd. There's no pressure. Everyone will love what I do. I just kind of relax and try new stuff. And then the other great thing, normally, like I've been there, I think, the seventh day. And normally they hire me for 2 days in a week. They hire me like Tuesday and Thursday. So there's a day in between, so I can warm up very easily. I go down Tuesday, I go like, oh, I'm really in the mood of trying anything new. First, let me get like feel what the place is. I go and I just do my regular show. And then maybe in the second or third show, I try something or maybe not. I go home, I go like, oh, if I don't try anything new there, I'm not actually getting what I wanted. I have one more day to prepare. I can practice new stuff. I can go like, yes, I will do it. And then another 3 shows. And this actually works quite well because sometimes, like today, it was bad weather and not so many people, so the first show basically no one was there, so I did some close out from just the few people that were there. But that then obviously is not a possibility to try some new Polish style routines. And then second show today, I did like everything I wanted. The second show, the last thing I did was the cups and balls, so I finished with one of my breath and butter stuff.
Absolutely.
And everything else was I did 2 things were completely new. I never performed them before, and one of them I have to tell Steve about in a minute. And the other stuff was I have performed it, the one thing I think 3 times, the other 5 times, the third thing a bit more often, but it still has the feeling of it's new for me, it's new material.
I just want to say, like, this is indispensable, what you're saying right now. A lot of times, like when I came up, the shows that I used to work on material were assisted living facilities and over 55 communities we have here in the United States. And it was the right audience. Okay. Like it was like that older corporate audience kind of a thing that where I ultimately wanted to go, but it was a great place I could just go and do anything. You know, it was low pressure, you know.
You know, and Steve, it reminds me a lot of working in restaurants, except...
Exactly.
Christoph has the advantage that he's working more parlor type of situation because of the venue that it's like the ultimate laboratory for doing stand-up magic as opposed to like a restaurant where it's the ultimate laboratory for doing close-up magic. This is just, it sounds like a dream gig for you, Christoph.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
I was going to say too, it's a family audience. Right.
Right.
You know, there is no
time.
Yeah. There is no better material, no matter what kind of magic you do, than developing some family magic, you know, which is just like anybody can understand it. It's real down the middle, you know, and you've got a laboratory for it. So you went down to the gig, right? And it seems like you've done this a few times before, right?
Yeah.
Tell us, like, what are you walking into? Like, obviously, you know, because you've done it before, but like, is there a little stage? Is there like just an area where you are, or is there nowhere and it's just like a busking gig? Just give us like the general lay of the land and then maybe, you know, tell us.
Yeah, it depends on the weather. So the main plan is that I perform outside, and they have several areas where they want me to perform. Like normally I do one day in one area, but sometimes they change. They go like, don't go on the meadow, go to this place or so. Mm-hmm. So when I come, I do not really know where they want me to perform, but I figure it out and I set up there. And the main plan is to do it outside. Today we had a very strong wind and it was quite cool. So today I was inside. But this I don't know. I just go there and I figure it out.
Yeah, hang on one second. So that I assume then what that means is you're just kind of working out of a bag.
Yes, out of the back a bit. Like when I do my regular show, I do I'm quite sure of what I will do. And when I do new things, I basically set up everything and then I decide quite short notice. So people are coming, having a seat, I look around, how many are there? And like, for example, today it was the second show where I tried all the new things. There was a boy who had been there, not yesterday, but the day before yesterday and Tuesday. So he was there and says, do you do any new things? And then I get it. I go like, okay, now it's the time to do stuff. And I go like, what did you see the other day? And actually he did not see much, but I don't realize that. And I tried to figure out, and I go like, have you seen the egg bag? Like the thing with the egg? He goes like, no. I go like, have you seen the dust with the glass and the boards? He goes like, no, I haven't seen that. And that's how I ended up doing all the new stuff. I was like asking him, did you already see this one? Or did you already see this one? He answered, only question was no. So that's when in my mind, I made up sort of the set list. I was like, okay, then I thought, and then I realized I perform all the new things, and I go like, that's fine, let me do it. And that's something I normally don't do in this relaxed way, so that's the benefit I get from there. But I do this, yeah. I prepare everything on quite a short notice, especially if I have people coming back, because some children watch all three shows in one day.
So when you're walking around the park, then you mentioned you do cups and balls. You're moving around with a bag and a table, and then you basically can just set up wherever you want, open your table and go to work if there's an audience there, if they gather, or how do you determine where the audience is going to gather and how do they gather, I guess is my question.
This is very well organized, because normally on all the other events and booked to the Street Food Festival, I would do it like that. I would just go around, change places and so, and when I was booked there for the first time, we talked about that, and I offered them that I would do that, and they declined and said, no, we want you to do three shows to a fixed time, and that's much better. Because so then they set up some benches and chairs so people can sit.
Oh, and perfect. The so thing it's more like a theme park setup then, where it's like you're being introduced and you come out and start the show. That's very interesting. I love that.
And I do have a lot of competition there, like, when I do like some, I decide myself where's the right place to perform. People don't expect it. And they have one main square, but people come in there from the entrance. And there's some competition, which is ice cream, which are the animals, which you can pet. There's a playground. And while I do think I'm probably at least as good as ice cream, the problem is children start running. So they come to this main square. They have been waiting to pay the entrance fee or so. They open the door and they already had something in mind, which is not a magician, because they don't know if he's waiting outside. So they open the door, the children start running. And I'm not gonna stop a child running to either ice cream playground or to pet some animals. I let them run. So I do that too. Between the three shows, I do some close-up magic, but very relaxed. I have no pressure. If all the children run to the playground or the ice cream, it's fine with me. I just wait for the right moment, and I don't feel like, oh, I have not performed. I just go relaxed, moment will come. So this is very, very much.
So that's interesting too. So you're saying that the close-up magic, you're doing that sort of in between shows, and that sort of ends up becoming sort of promotion for the big show that's coming up. You like this magic, hang out, I'm going to do another show in 20 minutes or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's the payment is not ideal, but everything else is ideal. No promotion needed. All the people that come there want to see a magic show. This I don't have on other events. Everyone who comes there, they tell them in the entry, there's a magician, he does shows at 11 o'clock, 1 wow. o'clock, and 3 o'clock. And they actually sound like the day before yesterday, there was some family setting up half an hour before the show and going like, yeah, it's still like 30 minutes before we start. And they go like, the magic show is the most important thing today. That's what we want to see.
Great.
So, great. Yeah, so people it's come working. There, they want to see. Yeah, no promotion needed. That's why it's so relaxed. There's such a great audience. It's really great for me.
So you do this twice a week. Is that right?
Well, not every week, but when they book me, they normally book me in 1 week, 2 days, yes.
Wow. That's just fantastic. This sounds like a dream gig for exactly what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, but
it's a good audience. It really is. It's a good audience for you, and it's a great place to incubate your stuff, you know?
Yeah, but actually they asked me like last summer I was doing it, I think 5 times or so, 5 days, and then they asked me to perform 25 days this year. And I was like, no, it does not work for on this deal. No. And I do 5 this year.
Wow. That's awesome. So before we wrap this up, you said you had something you wanted to tell me and I'm dying to hear what it is.
Yes. One of the tricks I performed was the hip job rabbits that you showed in country community on October.
Well, it's only the first time.
How'd it go?
But before I tell you how it went, I have to say this is not my style of trick, like not at all. I would never have thought of trying something like that. And when I saw you perform it in conscious community, I was like, oh, now I understand how it should be done. Like with quite fast and like having the rabbits in the centers if they are some stuntmen or something like that.
It absolutely kills, doesn't it?
Kills in a way that you don't even see coming.
Am I right?
I have it's like quite a small audience. I'm sort of satisfied it did not go, it went quite well, but I had a small audience and I was trying other new stuff. So in general, I felt like my show is not as good as I'm used to. And I had one boy who was there yesterday who somehow, yesterday he came late. And if you come late, it's like some special barrier. You go downstairs by a stair and you basically end up on stage. And then you look around for a seat and they're all taken. So it happened twice yesterday that people are coming and they just keep standing next to me on the stage because that's where they end up and no place to go. And this boy came yesterday and ended up there. The show was towards the end and I was like, yeah, you can stay there. That's okay. So he was a bit used to being on stage, I guess, because today the funny thing is, he got up just when I was ready for the kicker reveal. Ending. Mm-hmm. So he stormed on stage to shut me up to show me that what I missed to show then. And I'm not 100% sure if I like it. I mean, it was not bad. I mean, there is obviously some comedy to it because he got the right moment where he could do that. Mm-hmm, and there was a big surprise and there was some additional comedy of him turning the stuff over. I still would have preferred if I had done it myself.
Yeah, of course. It's a little rude.
But, I mean,
just walking up on stage and grabbing something that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah.
And you get right down to it. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know what it's like in Germany. I don't know. Maybe it's different over there.
Bad manners.
It seems like kind of rude.
Yeah. I do agree with that. But some children are like that, whether it's bad manners or they just have a bit more energy than other
You're
kids.
You're exactly right.
Or their parents.
They're just curious. Yeah. They're just,
well, they just get so excited. And really what I think it is they have such a familiarity, such a comfort with you that they don't feel like there's a wall between you and them. You know what I mean? They kind of feel like you're just like one of their friends.
This is exactly how it was. And obviously, it would have my job to control that a bit better. But then, with the trick I found the first time, So this is exactly how it was and what I am in charge of my stage, and I do get the audience managed. But yeah,
you
also
know,
like,
thinking about it, maybe yeah. that's the way to do the trick. Maybe you have a kid on stage and you have them turn it around for you every single time.
Well, maybe. You know, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You things happen.
That's right.
You know, things happen.
Yeah. And actually, so you want them to happen to a certain degree. I mean, right. Like to quote Aaron Fisher, but Aaron Fisher, if the audience doesn't talk back, it's not a party. But right. still, right. then the art is to keep the balance. So it's a
yeah,
party,
exactly.
but it's getting out of hand. And well, it's an art. And there still was enough balance. So I'm not like, it was
you
a
learned,
good
you learned some important lessons,
you
man.
Know what?
That's really what happened.
I was just going to say, right? So now you know what happens when that happens. And so if anybody yeah. ever decides to do it again, you're just like, I've already experienced this. I know what this is. You know, right. I know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to handle that. But, you know, just fascinating. I know that we're going to have Christoph on back, you know, on again at some point, because he has so many more fascinating things. I mean, we're just scratching
it's
the surface of the kind of gigs. I'm personally interested in what the gig scene is like, you know, in Germany and Europe in general. You know, I imagine it's about the same type of gigs, I would imagine, you know.
People are like, people. It's true.
People are people. Same events everywhere, right? Cocktail hours, yeah. after dinners, right. you know, same thing everywhere. But still, it's interesting. I think it'd be interesting to everyone who listens, too.
Definitely. Great to have you, Christoph. So cool to hear these stories about these shows that you're doing, man. I hope that you will come back and join us again.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much. This is great.
Thanks for tuning into the Magic Performance Report podcast by Conjured Community. We hope you enjoy diving into the magical world with us today. Remember, the magic doesn't stop here. Keep practicing those routines, embracing those highs, and learning from those occasional hiccups. Together, we'll continue to unravel the mystery. I'm Ethan Fisher, and thanks for listening.
If you would like more information on Conjure Community, the world's greatest magic club, please email support@conjurer.community or check out club.conjurer.community. Podcast produced by Ethan Fisher.